Talking about life in the hood, parenthood. And before I go any further, I do want to give a shout out to those that are watching online through our campuses, the Wyoming campus and the Nagpur, India campus. Would you let them know that we love them and they're part of the family? I know that there are newcomers in the house there and here, and we especially welcome those that are checking us out for the first time. We also want to welcome in the young people at the juvenile detention facility here in Kent County. Would you just show them some love as well? Yes. So we're talking about parenthood, and I want to encourage you to have your Bibles ready, either on your phone or your tablet or a paper Bible, however you follow along in the Word of God. We're going to be in three places this weekend: Proverbs chapter 22, Ephesians chapter 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so I encourage you to go ahead and turn to those places, stick a finger there if you need to, or however you can mark those places out so that you're not having to flip around when I get to those places in the sermon. I've got to tell you that to preach a sermon on parenthood, let me just say from the outset that I am not an expert. In social media world, the hashtag would be not an expert. I wish I could tell you I've gotten it right all the time, but if I told you that, you would be wise enough to know not to believe me. I have made my share of mistakes in parenting. I even posted on social media this week how after several weeks with one of our children having an illness, and I'm telling them, get some sleep, drink more fluid, stop texting on the phone late at night. In fact, give me your cell phone because you obviously aren't getting enough sleep. Somebody said, you know, have you thought about having him go to the doctor and seeing if he has a sinus infection? I'm like, sinus infection? I didn't get sinus infections as a kid. I got good old-fashioned colds. And so sure enough, he goes to the doctor. Doctor's like, sinus infection. He needs some antibiotics. And who felt like a bad dad in that moment? Me. And many of you, when I posted that, responded, we can relate. We've been there. Now, it probably didn't help that this is the same kid that we mistakenly left at camp a few years ago, an extra day, because we thought the pickup was on Saturday, and it was actually Friday, and we didn't have our cell phones with us on Friday, as he called and said, Mom, Dad, are you coming to pick me up from camp, an hour and a half away? And so he, of course, reminded me of that this week. There are just those times when we realize that we're not experts. So I'm going to be in a few places because the Bible has a lot to say about parenting. Now let me just give you one other little tidbit before I dive into the sermon. You can just kind of file this away in your book of knowledge about life in the church. You know, if you go to a variety of churches, you'll hear a variety of styles of sermon. And in fact, if you were to go take a preaching class in a Bible college or a seminary, you'd hear that there are at least three different types of sermons that can be delivered. You know, one type of sermon is known as the narrative sermon. That's when you kind of dive into a story in Scripture, and you'll find that good narrative communicators are those that can really extract the details in the story, the scenery, the emotions. It can really help you understand what people were thinking and feeling and help you find your place in the story. Be a good narrative sermon. I'd say in town here in West Michigan, Jeff Mannion over at Ada Bible may be one of the better narrative communicators. And he'll even go off to some of the biblical lands sometimes and record videos and help the congregation enter in that way. Another style of sermon would be expository. That's where you kind of go verse by verse through a text, trying to extract the big question or the big idea from the text. And some people grew up in settings where it was expository preaching. And I'd say here in town at Calvary on the Beltline, Dr. Jim Samra does a great job, maybe one of the better expository communicators. And then there's another style known as topical. Topical is where you recognize that Scripture has a lot to say on a particular topic, but it's not all anchored in one place. And so you'll find that some communicators jump around Scripture a lot. Rick Warren at Saddleback is notorious for doing that. And I'd say here in town, maybe Jermone Glenn over at Revolution Christian Ministries is a great topical communicator. If you've paid attention, you know that my preferred style is more of a blend of narrative and expository. I don't typically like to have you jumping around a lot in Scripture, but today's message is very much a topical sermon because the Bible has tons to say about parenting. It's not all anchored in one place, and I wouldn't do this topic justice if we didn't spend time in a few different places. That's why I'd say prepare yourself to to be able to follow along in Scripture because we're going to be in a few places. And so the first place I want to start off is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Some of you are very familiar with this passage, and it reads this way in the New International Version. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This verse is found in a section of Scripture known as the wise sayings. That's what Proverbs is all about. There's wisdom in these words. Some of you are used to it saying, train up a child in the way that they should go. It said, start off children the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. This text is really talking about the foundation of parenting. Everybody say foundation. The foundation of parenting. And here's the point I would make if you're taking notes this weekend. The foundation built through parenting matters for a lifetime. This is about, from day one, the earliest possible time, beginning to set the foundation for children. Not just their spiritual foundation, which is certainly a part of it, but their foundation in every area of life. This is that place in life where you're trying to show them the way that they should go. Now, you might recall it was Jesus himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this Proverbs text is talking about helping children from day one, at the earliest possible time, understand the right way to go, following Jesus, pursuing Christ-likeness. Now, I know that some of you came from abusive situations in parenting. Some of you came from very healthy situations in parenting. Some of you desire to be parents and you haven't had that opportunity. I know there's a whole range of stories here, but can I tell you that for all of us who had parents in one way, shape, or form, the primary goal from the earliest days was supposed to be starting children off on the right way, following Jesus, setting the foundation so that every other decision in life would be made through the lens of this foundational relationship with Jesus. This is the job of parents. And so then you know, as one of your pastors, that I have this personal pet peeve, that there are some parents that say, I'm not going to have my child go to church. I'm going to let it be up to them at 8 years old and 12 years old. I'll let them make the decision because, you know, I came up in a very legalistic background and I don't want to force my ways on them. Can I just tell you that if you're in that camp, you are abdicating your responsibility biblically as parents? That it's our job as parents to steer our children in the right way. It's not about brainwashing them or manipulating them. It's about exposing them to wisdom from day one. Now, you need to know that this is not a text that's a covenantal kind of promise. It's not a guarantee that if you train your children up or start them on the right way, that it's a guarantee that when they're old, they will still be following Jesus. In fact, I know that some of you are sitting here today thinking, Pastor, I did all the right things. I had my child in Sunday school. I had them in church each week. I had them in youth group. I had daily devotions at home. We prayed for our children. We did what this passage said, and yet our children have turned out and gone a different direction. And you're measuring your sense of success based on how your children turned out. I have a word that I want to say about success as we get towards the end of the sermon, but let me just remind you here, this is in the category of wisdom. This is not a guarantee, but it's the wise thing to do, to start your children off on the way that they should go. When we dedicate children to the Lord and parents stand up here and they follow the instructions that we give them and they respond to the things that we're asking them to respond to, they are committing that we will make sure our children's feet are in the sanctuary. We'll make sure that we point them in the way of the Lord. This is foundational to parenting, and the foundation that's built through parenting matters for a lifetime. Now, I want to have you fast forward to the New Testament, because that was in the wisdom in the Old Testament, but I want to have you fast forward to the New Testament. First, just think about Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. This is not in the list of scriptures I said I would give you, but when you think about this idea of the foundation that's built through parenting, remember the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, many a pastor, including me, has looked at that passage. I've used it at weddings. I've preached it a number of times, and there's a key thing in that passage. And the key thing in that passage is that as Jesus talks about what kind of foundation we have for our lives, notice that the text doesn't say, if the rains come down and if the streams rise and if the winds blow and beat against the house. It says when. And if you've lived long enough, you know that the reason the foundation that's built through parenting matters so much is because it's inevitable that our children will face storms in life. It'd be nice if we could protect them from all of those things, but it's inevitable. And some of you are facing storms right now, whether it's the storm of a health diagnosis or the storms of being downsized or the storms of divorce or the storms of doubt or the storms of infertility or the storms of a broken relationship or the storms of a lack of finances or the storms of a marriage that's falling apart. There are storms that come in life. Jesus didn't say, if the storms come. He said, when they come, you want to make sure you have your house built on the right foundation. Parenting. From day one, at the earliest time possible, is reminding children to build their lives on the rock known as Jesus. That's what the foundation of parenting is about. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he came to Christ and wrote much of the New Testament, was writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. And if you were to read the book of Ephesians, you'd find that in the early chapters of Ephesians, it's all about this idea of unity in the body, that there are Gentiles and there are Jews, and there's typically been this separation, but because of Jesus, there's unity that comes. There's unity between the people of God because of Christ. And then as you walk later into Ephesians, you'll find that he starts to talk about the implications of that unity in light of family relationships. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, gets into husband and wife relationships. And then he gets to chapter 6, and look at these words in verse 1 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That could be a whole nother sermon in itself, right? Children, obey your parents or your life might be cut short. That would be a great sermon to preach someday. I'm not on that right now. That's more so just the setup. As he gives instructions to children, look at what verse 4 says. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now you look at that verse and the second half of the verse sounds a lot like Proverbs 22:6. Bringing them up in the instruction and the knowledge of the Lord. That sounds just like the foundation that was laid in Proverbs 22:6. But it's the first part of the verse that stands out to us. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. You know what it means to exasperate your children, to so frustrate them that you move them towards anger. And I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. Those times where you find yourself speaking to a loved one, particularly a child, in a way that you would never speak to a coworker or another adult. Those times where you're screaming at the top of your lungs and you stop and you realize, what am I doing? Those times where you're trying to use a logical argument and the kid is looking at you like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I remember that when we became parents, people gave us lots of good books on parenting, grace-based parenting, love and logic, parenting the hurt child, how to have a new kid by Friday is even a book that's out there. And I remember a classic one somebody gave me called Get Out of My Face. For when your kid looks at you and says, get out of my face. Now, I know some of you grew up in households where you feel like if you had ever said that one time, those would have been the last words you ever uttered, get out of my face. And others of you grew up in environments where you said those words and you had a compassionate parent that said, aw, honey, what's really going on? Tell me what's beneath the surface there. Because surely there must be some deeper challenge. Did you break up with your girlfriend? Is somebody bullying you at school? Tell me why you would say, get out of my face. I applaud you for all that patience. But Paul specifically calls out fathers, and you might wonder, why doesn't he mention mothers there? First of all, mothers, you aren't off the hook This applies to fathers and mothers, but the reason Paul calls out fathers is because culturally, in the Roman culture, fathers in the Roman culture, before they became Christians, would have what I would call a whole lot of authority and no accountability. In other words, they could beat their children and look around and say, what? Anybody got something to say? They could be very cruel and demand respect in very abusive ways. And what Paul is saying is, no, fathers, now that you've become followers of Jesus, there's something that needs to change in your heart. And don't exasperate your children. Don't make them angry just through your style of parenting. I know that there are times when I go into my CSI investigator mode where I start just interrogating my children. Now, I've done this in the past. I'm trying to get over this, but I'll start laying out the facts and the details. And let's be honest about it, parents. Most of us, when it comes down to like debate and arguing with our children, you can win an argument, you can win a debate, but you can certainly lose a heart in the process. And you can certainly damage a relationship in the process. And there are times where I have interrogated to the point of catching them in some lie or tripping them up and like, ha! You just said one thing, and now you just said the opposite. What do you got to say about that? And I'm not proud of those moments. And it's led to my kids being exasperated at times. Here's what I'm learning as I grow as a parent. That when we approach our children the right way, we can actually do them a great service. We can protect them from spiritual warfare. Everybody say approach. Talked about the foundation, now we're talking about the approach. The approach that we take in parenting can protect them from spiritual warfare. What do I mean? I want to connect some dots for you. If you were to go back just a couple chapters in Ephesians to chapter 4, you'd find that Paul writes these words. In your anger, do not do what? Sin. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil a foothold. That's what he says. And the argument there is Paul saying, like, if you get angry, it's possible that you'll end up sinning. He's not saying it's wrong to get angry. He's just saying that when you do get angry, don't let it lead to the point of sin. And by the way, don't go to bed angry. Like, don't let the sun go down on your anger. What he's saying is if you do let it lead to sin, it's possible you give the devil a foothold in your life that can lead to a stronghold. That comes in Ephesians 4. And then here in Ephesians 6, he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. He's talking about don't move them to anger with your style or your approach to parenting. And if you were to go further in Ephesians 6, you'll find that what comes on the back end then is the classic passage of Scripture that we know is all about spiritual warfare. The whole thing about putting on the armor of God, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. It's all there in Ephesians 6, 10 through 21. In other words, Paul is saying there is a battle going on. It's an unseen battle. It's spiritual warfare. Our lives are exposed to this. We cannot ignore it. And all I'm saying is that if your approach to parenting is one that leads to exasperation, that leads to anger, you're potentially setting your children up to give the devil a foothold through an anger that leads to sinfulness. So we can actually do a job of protecting our children by our approach to parenting. Now, I want to take you back to the Old Testament. This is where I want to spend the bulk of the remaining time I have in this sermon, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because there's the foundation, and then there's the approach, but I want to have you hear some words about the content of parenting. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 5. Moses writes these words, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." This comes on the heels of the issuing of the Ten Commandments. The people of Israel are about to move into the land that God has promised them. They're moving into the promised land. He's promised them this for generation after generation. God has delivered them from bondage in Egypt. They're about to cross the Jordan River, and we find these words. I want to call particular attention to verse 5. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And I tell you that the main content of our parenting, there's tons of things we're supposed to teach. How to tie shoes, how to use the bathroom without wetting up the toilet seat, and how to wipe after yourself if you do wet up the toilet seat, how to wash your hands after you use the bathroom, and how to eat and hold your fork properly, and all of these things that we're supposed to teach. But the main thing that we're called to teach is love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. The content for our discipleship wisdom for our children is found right here in Scripture. Tons of great books on parenting. Don't want to diminish any of them. I encourage you to read and keep learning and keep growing, but never lose sight of the fact that what Moses was saying here to the people of Israel and what's still true for us is that it's about teaching our children to have a lens of love, love for God. And you know that in the New Testament, Jesus added to it and said, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's this idea here that we're supposed to teach them how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you need to know that that "Hear, O Israel" piece there, the Lord our God is one, this is something that in Jewish culture gets repeated daily, multiple times a day. It's known as the Shema. It's just the Hebrew word that means hear. This text is something that they're saying daily needs to be repeated. It's legalistic, I get it, but the mindset there is that children, families, everyone needs to remember daily to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That is the main content of parenting. That's what we're called to communicate. We communicate lots of other things. I'll admit it, there's lots of things I wanted to pour into my children from the earliest age possible. I wanted them to know that in our household, when we root for sports teams, there's a certain team that we root for. I wanted them to know that when they think about heaven, there's one school that has gold, like streets of gold in the colors, and there's another school that has a certain letter S that stands for a lot of things in Scripture, like Satan and sin and all those things, but I didn't say any schools' names. I could be talking about Stanford. Give me a break now. There are lots of things that we try and teach our children from the earliest age, but friends, don't lose sight of this one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Sometimes when you look at the struggles that people have, it's not primarily the sin that presents itself. It's a lack of love for God. And it's a forgetfulness that God loves us. And the content of what we're supposed to communicate in the parenthood is right here in Scripture. And parents, we've said it year after year, and this is true for grandparents as well by extension, like because parenting never ends, that parents are the primary disciplers of the children. Think about it. We have an awesome children's ministry in the life of KCC. We call it Real Kids. There are children being poured into. We have awesome volunteers and awesome teachers, but the reality is we get kids for how many hours a week? At most, about an hour and 15 minutes, unless I preach long, and then you might get them for an hour and 25 minutes. And some of you who have served in children's ministry are like, yeah, we know the weekends you preach long, because when that internal alarm goes off in the kids and they're like, where are my parents? We had to come up with extra stuff to teach. We get them for about 75 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes out of a 168-hour week. Now think about that. Who has more influence? Who has more influence on your kids, you or the children's ministry? So that's why we try and teach parents and grandparents and anybody that's mentoring and encouraging children to teach them repeatedly, often, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And that leads me to the next several verses in Deuteronomy 6, where Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I believe that what Moses is saying here is that the timing of delivery for parental wisdom is always right. You could think of it this way. Every moment is a teachable moment. I'm not saying that you just beat your kids over the head with scripture. I'm not saying that you force them to memorize the Bible. What I'm saying is that typically as you drive down the road, as you sit in your house, Moses is saying everywhere you go, impress these on your children. Talk about them. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're lying down, there's always a teachable moment. I think about that great quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he says, the time is always right to do the right thing. Right? There's never a bad time to do the right thing. The timing is always right. And when it comes to offering parental wisdom rooted in Scripture, every moment is a teachable moment. So some parents, think about, what do you listen to when you're in the car and you're driving? Are you listening to something that points them towards Christ, or are you listening to stuff that's going to point them away from Christ? Are you listening to stuff that will help them understand loving God and loving neighbor, or are you listening to stuff that's teaching them division and possibly hatred or something that's immoral? I know you might like the beat in certain songs, but when you think about the lyrics, are they really pointing your child toward Christ, or are they pointing your child away from Christ? And some of you think things like, well, I don't want my kids to be all sheltered so when they get out in the real world, they don't realize all the challenges that are out there. Look, there's a way to expose your children to the world and help them understand a biblical worldview while they interact with it, because every moment is a teachable moment. The timing when it comes to delivery of parental wisdom is always right. Everybody say timing. Then I want to jump ahead to verses 10 through 12. Moses says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Key words there, do not forget. Moses is saying, hey, you're going to experience some things in life that are the fruit of somebody else's labor. You're going to benefit from some blessings that you didn't have anything to do with. Some of you know that's the family legacy that your children are being raised in. They're benefiting from some financial provision that they didn't have to work for. They're benefiting from some business connections that they didn't have to work for. They're benefiting from some relationships that you've established or that have long been established that they didn't have to work for. And Moses is saying, when you get into this new promised land and you take over land that's been developed and prepared by others, do not forget what the Lord delivered you from. He brought you out of slavery, out of bondage in Egypt. Fast forward to verse 20, he says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we're careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. He said, there's going to come a day where your children look at you and say, why do we need to pursue holiness? Why do we need to pursue righteousness? Why do we want to honor God with our lives? In the case of the Israelites, what's up with all these decrees and stipulations? We know that we are no longer under the law. But Moses is describing here a time in the future where your children will wonder why. And what he says is, when those questions come up, mommy, daddy, why do you tithe? Why do you pray? Why do you go to church? Why are you in a life group? Why do I see you reading your Bible? When those questions are asked, simply remind your children, God delivered us from something. And we do this in response to God. I said I had a word for you about success in parenting, and here it is. And I believe that the success of parenting is found not in the outcome of our children, but in the the ways we remind them of God's deliverance. Our call is simply to remind folks that we were born into sin, and the consequences of sin, defiance against God, is eternal separation from God, and real people will go to hell. People's mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and loved ones and people that we care about if they don't surrender and submit to Jesus. But thanks be to God that he provided a way. And the reason why we go to church and the reason why we give the first fruits of our resources and the reason why we get in community with other believers and the reason why we pursue holiness and righteousness with the help of the Holy Spirit and the reason why we embrace this grace that God has given us is because of what Jesus did on the cross. God delivered us from something. You can't determine the choices that your children will make. Some of you have children who have died because they were involved in sinful practices. Some of you have children right now who are caught up in some difficult situations. They're sitting in a jail or in a prison or in the midst of an addiction, and you're thinking that you failed as a parent. Can I just tell you that today is the day to remind yourself that your success as a parent is not in how your child turned out. Your success is determined by how often you remind that child that God loves them, that God delivered them, and that all they've got to do is embrace and say yes to Jesus. If the success in parenting was based on the outcome of the kids, I want you to hear this closely. God is the perfect parent. Perfect parent. And look at how rebellious his kids are. And if God's success as a parent was based on our behavior, man, we'd all be sunk. I'm so thankful to God that that's not what determines success, how our kids turn out. Our call is to set the foundation, to use the right approach, to look to Scripture for the content, to recognize that the timing is always right, and to remind folks of what God has delivered us from through a relationship with Christ. So I have a few thoughts for you this week as you think about life in the parenthood. Number one, reminder, parents are the primary disciples of their children. Parents, don't abdicate your responsibility. You know, the church does its part, and we provide resources for you to use throughout the week. This goes for parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, mentors. We have resources that you can use throughout the week for daily devotions, for time in the Word, for all of these things to have family devotions together. And then, secondly, I want you to focus on the facts of parenting. I capitalize facts because there's an acrostic there. The foundation, the approach, the content, the timing, and then the right measure of success. Sometimes you might feel like a failure as a parent because of a decision your child has made. Friends, focus on the facts, not your feelings. And finally, just embrace the grace that Jesus offers us on the parenting journey. Some of you are too hard on yourselves. You're beating yourselves up. You're holding to some standard that's unrealistic. Do you understand that God is a God of grace and mercy? God is a God of second chances. God is the one that says there is a new joy that's found every day just by waking up and reflecting on God. You know, I got a chance recently to hang out with my 94-year-old grandmother, Grandma Love. That's not a made-up name. That's her married name. She married Sidney Love years ago. He passed a number of years ago, and my grandmother's 94. She lives down in Georgia now, and I was down there for a meeting, and I got to go see my grandmother. My grandmother just inspires me, and I guess the inspiration grows each year that she's still alive and well. She said, "Kyle, I read my Bible every morning. I can't write anymore," because she has arthritis really bad in her hands, so she can't write. She said, "People just call me and they just want my advice, and I never thought that God would use me this way." And she said, "I think the reason I remember so much of the Bible is because I read it every day." And she always reminds me, "Don't worry about Grandma. I'm ready to go whenever Jesus calls me. My ticket is bought and paid for to heaven by the blood of Jesus. I'm too blessed to be stressed," and she means it. And she said she told somebody recently who was struggling with some parenting stuff. She listened to this younger woman who poured out her heart about all these challenges she was having with her children. And she looked at this lady and she said, baby, when are you going to stop worrying about it and just let Jesus handle it? And she said this lady just was in tears and began to tell all her friends, this 94-year-old woman told me I just need to let Jesus handle it and stop worrying about it. And that comes straight from Scripture. Friends, I don't know where you get your parenting wisdom from. I can tell you that the work of parenting never stops. And I can tell you that when you focus on the right things, just reminding children regularly of God's love, God's deliverance, and recognizing that every moment is a teachable moment, God will point you in the right direction on your parenting journey. Amen? I'd like to pray. I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are awesome, mighty, and powerful. You give us the wisdom that we need for every situation. Lord, I know there are some that have heard this message, and Lord, I'm praying that there's a burden that's been lifted. Lord, they walked in feeling like they were failures as a parent. Lord, I know that today is a day to start afresh. Lord, I know there are some that walk with regret and a sense of sorrow and sadness because of the decisions their children are making. Lord, I pray that today you will restore hope and remind them that they're not failures in your sight, oh Lord, but you see them as primed and ready to walk in obedience to you, pouring out the truths of your message again and again and again. Lord, some have not had the opportunity to be parents, and I just pray that you would help them to find some young person to pour into in this community, because we know that there are surely many households where the parents are not stepping up to the plate. And Lord, I pray that for those that have those great, healthy, vibrant relationships with their kids that are rooted in Scripture and relationship with you, I just pray that you would continue to bless and encourage and guide and just teach humility so that folks don't believe that it's all because of their effort. They will recognize that it's because of you and you alone. So God, we love you. We delight in you. We thank you for the wisdom that's found in your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.